Richard and Julie with you. 100 years ago, the great Winnipeg General Strike of 1919.
Well, Winnipeg in 1919 was pretty well a city divided.
Harriet Zaidman is author of City on Strike. You can get it at McNally, Chapters, Indigo, most booksellers. City on Strike. It's about the strike of 1919.
On the south side, you had a fairly comfortable life. There were factory and business owners, the people who had come here, the mostly, I would say, from Ontario, but British-based, their origins, and they had set up a fairly prosperous life here, and the war had made them even more prosperous. But on the other side of the tracks, the CP tracks, were the immigrant population, and those were, for the most part, the Eastern European immigrants, people who lacked funds, lacked English, and lacked the understanding of the society as it existed. So they were extremely poor.
What led to the strike?
You had extreme poverty to begin with. Wages had been very low. And then in 1914, when the war began, they froze wages, but the prices had risen by about 65 to 80%. The level of sanitation on the north side of the tracks was terrible. A disease was a fairly regular visitor to that end. And so you had people living in very poor living conditions. And this was a North America-wide phenomenon, too. It was not just in Winnipeg. You had great resentment against the increasing richness in one part of society and the increasing impoverishment on the other. And then the soldiers returned.
How did they organize? I mean, in this day and age, I could put out a tweet or a message on social media. Certainly not the case in 1919.
Well, you also understand that in 1919, workplaces had a lot more people in them, so people talked to each other. And there were very, very active unions, social organizations in communities. About 12,000 people in Winnipeg were in unions. In total, about the majority of the strikers were non-union, actually, because everybody was facing these difficult conditions. People talked to each other. Newspapers were put out regularly, all the time. Every organization had a journal, some kind of press that they put out.
Harriet Zaidman is with us on 680 CJOB. The book is City on Strike. What was the trigger point that led to people being off the job and then ultimately some of the violence that we saw?
Well, people were triggered to go off the job on May 1st. The building and metal trades workers went off. And they were getting nowhere. The Committee of 1000 had organized, and they had just suppressed all negotiations. Nothing happened. So after 2 weeks, which is quite a long time to be on strike when you have very low wages to begin with, those groups asked the City Labor Council for a general sympathetic support for a strike. And it was massively supported, 11,000 to 500, something like that was the vote. And then finally, Citizens Committee would not negotiate. And that's they were conspiring behind the scenes while they were sort of trying to starve people out. They were also conspiring to unleash the Mounties on people.
What led to the violence?
Well, what led to the violence was they fired the police force because the policemen wouldn't sign a loyalty oath not to unionize. And they hired these specials. Basically, they encouraged people to be thugs. They gave them a $6 a day. It was something like that. So they bribed people to do that. Just organized the Mounties behind the scenes so that when the final demonstration took place or did not take place, when the Minister of Labor was in town, they had planned to attack that they were going to suppress the strike completely. It had gone on long enough. They weren't going to put up with it anymore. They started on the 10th of June. There was their first foray in unleashing the specials. And then the specials sort of became braver. Until then, the strikers had owned the streets. And they wanted to take the streets back.
Why is it important to write a novel like this and tell future generations what happened?
Well, I think it's probably the writing of history, because when I went to school, there was one line about the strike. It was the biggest labor event in Canada ever. And it was, it merited one line in my history text when I went to school. And because people had to not talk about it because there was a very deliberate attempt to not hire people who were, you know, anyway connected to the strike. So it's very important to tell the important social history, history as it impacts on people. And it was a very negative social event. Which, you know, kept Winnipeggers impoverished until World War II, really. And it's just an example of how discrimination and fake news can affect society in such a negative way. On the plus side, it did encourage, you know, prompt people to become organized, to join unions, to demand their rights. So we have many, many social programs today, whether it's universal health care or pensions, that are resulted from the struggle of 1919.
Rumors and flyers went out, fake news in many ways. How was the strike of 1919 resolved?
Well, it was resolved because the strike committee gave up. They did not want violence. And if you read their bulletin throughout, they always say, don't get provoked, be calm. It's very prominently displayed in all their bulletins. So it was resolved because they arrested the strike leaders on June 17th to try to pull the plug from the strike, and then when they attacked the strikers had no ammunition, and they hadn't wanted to go on for more than a week or so anyway, and they weren't prepared to lead a society.
So they won in one sense in getting their points across, but they lost, didn't they?
Yes, they did lose, but in the long term, it had a benefit to society in developing a higher level of political consciousness in people and having them become organized and making demands as citizens, as rightful citizens.
Are we doing a better job remembering this now? Your book, there's a film, there's a musical. Are you emboldened by that? Because you said back in your time, one line in a textbook, and now future generations will know a lot more about it.
I am, and I'm very emboldened by that. It's really been heartening to go to schools to talk to kids and how much they know. Most importantly, though, is to learn the lessons of history. The negative effect that racism has, the motives behind racial comments, racial stereotyping, and the very, very insidious effect that fake news can have.
So you can see
society.
Those links. You can draw those links for the students even today.
The kids draw them. The kids draw them. They say it's just the same.
Harriet, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you very much.